Hello and welcome to the podcast today. This podcast is going to be different and going to be starting doing these ones every month. So as you might know, if you're a genealogist or you have ever tried to do genealogy, doing these episodes, researching people's family takes a lot of time. It's not something that you can just whip out every week. You know, it takes time to prepare, time to research, time to put it all together. So I thought it'd be interesting to just keep the momentum and keep episodes coming out every week. We're going to do a little behind the scenes where I'll talk about how I put things together and kind of how I built the story for the guest on the previous episode. And then the next week, I might share some inspirational things, kind of what's going on in my mind that week and what I want to share with you about connecting with your ancestors, learning more about them, and how that can affect your life. So last week, I interviewed Sarah Allred, and I talked to her about her ancestors. She wanted to learn about her father's line, that they were Mormon pioneers. There's a lot of information about them on Family Search. She has a very full tree, so there was lots to take a look at and kind of glean from and see what I could put together for her to share in kind of a concise way. Now, if you have a full family tree like that, I know that many of you do. Many of you have a full tree already. Maybe your parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles have researched your family tree. They've put on photos and memories about them and information. And it can be a lot to read through all of that and to kind of get a cohesive feel of who these people were. So I'm going to just walk you through how I did this with Sarah and then how you can apply these same things to your own family tree. So Sarah, I helped her learn about her second great grandparents, Mads Madsen and Ellen Hansdotter or Hansen. Okay, they came from Denmark, and on Family Search, there was a lot of information for both of them. So as I started piecing together their story, I started trying to think, okay, how could I illustrate this? How could I show Sarah what was going on in these people's lives to make it interesting and to tie it all together? So I first pulled up a map. Okay, I always love looking at a map. So I knew where they were born. In Svinning, Denmark is where Mads was born. So I looked up a map on Denmark. I looked up that town to see where it was. You could even go into more depth and then learn about the history of that town, right? You could see what the population was. You could see what the climate was like. You could see if there's any pictures of that town as far back as you can go. Okay, there might be some pictures in like the early 1900s, late 1800s of that town. That can really help you to get a feel of what that town was like for your ancestor to live in. Okay, then I started looking through the records that were on Family Search for him. So we had a christening record for him. Okay, it was in Danish. I don't speak Danish, but you could make out the dates. And then I actually took this record to, not this one. I took a different record, a census record I took to a Facebook group. So there are lots of Facebook groups out there for different countries for genealogy. So I just typed into Facebook search. I just put Danish genealogy. Okay. And there was a Facebook group that came up, said it had a few thousand members. I posted in there and asked, hey, can someone translate this record for me? Okay. There's hundreds of people in the thousands. There's so many people in the genealogy world who are willing to help you. They want to help you learn about your ancestors. Now, when you're asking these sorts of things, you don't just, I've been in many groups where people are like, hey, my ancestor is John Smith, and he was born in 1830 in Denmark. Can anyone give me information about him? Like, that is not a good question, right? There's not enough there for someone to actually help. Now, sometimes there are people that attempt to help, but it's just too hard. Like, you have to have a specific question, okay? So this was a specific record. If someone reads Danish, it doesn't take them very long to translate that for me, okay? It was a census record. I just wanted to know what the occupations were and what the relations to the people in the household were. So that's a really easy way to get some quick help. Now, don't expect people to spend hours for free giving you information about your family. But if you have a quick question like that, you can pop that into a genealogy Facebook group, and there are people that are more than happy to help you with that. So looking at that christening record, I was able to see when he was christened, knowing some simple words in Danish, like the word for church or home, because at the heading it said if he was christened at home or at the church, and kirken is church, so I could see that he was christened at the church. Okay, so then you can even go and see, well, what church would he have been christened at? If you look at where he was born, you know where they were born, you can see what churches there are in the area. If you know what religion they were, you know what church it likely was. Okay, I knew he was a Lutheran. Many people in Denmark were Lutheran at the time. And so I looked up what the church was that was closest to Svinning. There was one right in Svinning. I found a picture of it online. There. Now you have something else to kind of help tell that story. Now you can see the picture that his family probably went to for generations. And you can, using that visual representation helps you to connect, helps you to understand a little bit more of what things might have looked like for your ancestors at the time. Okay, so then, like I said, I found another census. It listed the people in the household. I was like, once I got it translated by the relations, I was able to see that Mads's father, they were living with his stepmother. So I was like, oh, okay, let's look a little bit at that. Why was he living with his stepmother? What happened to his mother? Then you can go look at your family tree, the information, and see, oh, his mother died when he was only 5 years old. His father remarried a few months later. I wonder what that was like. Okay, so you can put all these little pieces together to help tell the story. Okay, so then I was like, okay, we've got kind of a beginning story of this Mads Madsen, Sarah's second-great-grandfather. So now let's take a look at his second-great-grandmother, okay? So I started looking at Ellen's story. Okay, where was she born? I did the same sort of thing. Okay, she was born in Munkbjergby, Denmark. Probably saying that totally wrong. Okay, she was born 7 years after Mads. And I looked up on the map, okay, where was that in relation to where Mads was born? Okay, it's about 30 kilometers south. That's interesting. Okay, they weren't very far away from each other. I wonder if they knew each other before they left. I wonder if there was some sort of relationship there before they went to Utah. Okay. Then I see, after learning more about the history, I see that they both traveled on the same ship. Okay, so all these little pieces can help tie that story together. Okay, so then once I found, you know, I've got their intro of where they came from, now let's look at how they started their life together. So I went into a bit of the story of Mads's family, how they got to the United States, how they got to Utah, his father died. All of those stories came from memories, from written histories that were on Family Search. Now, I know that a lot of people don't have those, but if you do, read through them. There is so much information in them. And pick out the things that help really tie your ancestor story. If you want to create like a written story of their life that's a little more concise than a lot of those long histories are, pick out the things that kind of were formative or those kind of landmark events in their lives. Okay, where were they born? Where did they move to? Do you have a picture of the home that they lived in? Did any of their family die? What's the story behind that? Okay, and you can kind of piece those things together. That's what I shared in the interview with Sarah. I shared how Mads's father died in the journey to Utah. And that was a powerful story to share with her. It was written in a memory, in a history that was written on Family Search. So I shared an excerpt with that with Sarah. Those are powerful stories to share, to really share and see the humanity of our ancestors, to see how life was hard for them too. They went through hard things and they got through it. They endured, they survived, they went on to do amazing things. Those stories are really helpful to get to feel more connected to our ancestors. So then once I had a bit of their story of their migration to Utah. Then I talked about their life in Utah. What were some of those hardships? Okay. We even had a photo of their farm in Fort Ephraim. That was on Family Search again. So if you have a family tree on Family Search, look at those photos, see what they are. Put them into the timeline to really get a feel for what's going on. And then someone had put an address of where that home was. So I looked it up on Google Maps. That's a great thing to do. That's one of my favorite things to do, to see if those addresses are still there, see what they look like now. So then I thought, okay, what else can I tell to see what their life was like once they were settled in Utah? Census records are one of my favorite ways to see that. They're pretty easy to find usually, and you can get a lot of information from them. So in the 1860 census for Mads Madsen and his wife Ellen, I saw that they, you could see how much personal estate was valued at and what their real estate was valued at. And then you can compare that to other households beside them. Were they wealthy comparatively? Were they not? What was life like for them? What was their occupation? He was a farmer. Okay, what that can help you really get a feel for what life might have been like for them at that time. And then you can look at the next census and see how did their life change in those 10 years. Okay, in 1860, they just had one child. 1870, they had, I think, six. And he had married another wife. So there was a polygamous relationship there. That can give you a whole other wealth of information. What was life like for them? How would that have worked? What do their children's ages match up like? Oh, we see that there was children that were similar ages. So he was having relationships with both wives at the same time. I wonder what that was like. Okay. And with that, I read through some of his history to see if there was any information about that. Okay, what was the polygamous relationship like for Mads and his two wives? I found a beautiful excerpt written from his granddaughter about at least her perception of what their relationship was like and how the two women got together well. There was no ill feeling and they grew in love and harmony. Okay, at least that was the granddaughter's understanding of the relationship. So that can help you see what it might have been like reading some of those biographies and histories. Then seeing the pictures of them is also helpful. So that is kind of a summary of what I did, how I wrote that story, how I pieced the story together for Sarah, and how I got some of those pieces of information and put them together in a story that I could tell and to have some of those interesting photos and records that I could share with Sarah. So if you have a tree like Sarah, if you have a very full tree, you have lots of photos and memories and things in your family tree, I encourage you to try that. Choose an ancestor, start reading about them, learning about them, and see what you can piece together. It's a really powerful thing to be able to get to know our ancestors, to feel that connection. I believe that their spirits still exist, that they are there to help you, to cheer you on, and to help you progress in your own life. So try it out. If you want any help or tips with connecting with your ancestors, be sure to follow me on Instagram at Megan Hillier and keep listening, keep watching. I'll be sharing more tips in other episodes and we'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast today. I would love it if you could go to iTunes to leave a rating and review. That really helps more people to be able to find the podcast. Since we're so new, we need all the help that we can get. So share about it on Instagram, leave those reviews, and we will see you next time.